Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Bo Biabani. I'm the founder of Babylon Group.
And we're speaking because the Babylon Group is launching a new spot. It's called Saatchi. It will be at 727 15th Street, Northwest DC. It opens on August 6th, so in a couple days. Hey, Bo, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad to be here, Jason. Thank you.
So tell us about the exciting opening of this club. Or is it a restaurant? Is it a bar? What we got?
Great question. So it's a full-on nightclub. And we're opening, our grand opening is basically this Friday. We're having a media event to start the night off with a lot of industry insiders coming, showing them what we created over here. It's kind of a jewel box of a club. A lot of the things we're doing, we're trying to do with a lot of non-DC flair, but realizing who our market is and where we're from and everything that we've seen in the industry for the last 20 some years. It is basically like an Asian den, a beautiful, ornate space, an immersion, like a garden, a place to kind of get lost. We've all been through so much in the last year. We've been feverishly building this unique space. We have state-of-the-art lighting, which we think is unrivaled in Washington by DOS Audio. They did a lot of the big installations in Miami and clubs like 11. Our visual immersion is with eye design, a gentleman named Michael Meekum, who did a phenomenal job. We have wall panels, and instead of getting into the technical aspect of it, just you got to see it. It's really something that you don't see that often in DC. We put our heart into it. It's just something to kind of get lost. You know, people can go to a lot of places in DC, and we absolutely have an attitude of we're honored that they come to our place. We're honored that our vendors work with us, and we're honored that the people that we have as employees are there. And that's how we really look at our clients. So we're super excited about Saatchi. We've been open now for about a little bit over a month, and our grand opening, as you mentioned, is going to be this Friday. And we're excited to show DC what a jewel box of a club, just somewhere to get lost, looks like and feels like.
For sure. And talk about how cool it's where it's located geographically. You're right by the White House, and gosh, I guess you're right up the street from Old Ebbett. You got Hamilton right near there. You got the W Hotel, and now you're going to be there. So talk about how that little area is transforming into sort of a spot, like a little bit of a nightlife spot now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know your geography. So we are up the street a little bit from the W. We're right across the street from Joe's Seafood. A lot of people know where that is, right at 15th and H. Cheesecake Factory open on the corner. A lot of people coming to that area now. We love the foot traffic increase. One of our other venues is called Union Trust, which is also directly across the street from Saatchi. And it's kind of like a Cheers bar. There's no menus. You come in there. Bartenders are all over you. They know your name, and they'll make you whatever you want. It's in the same building as Joe's Seafood. So we're right there on 15th Street, pretty great location. I think the White House can probably hear our music at night.
I love it. Yeah, there you go. You can go to your Cheers bar or seafood and get a drink, get a beer, and then head on over and do some dancing at the Saatchi nightclub.
There you go.
So we're a radio station, obviously. So try to paint a visual picture for me when we walk in. So imagine our listener is listening to this and they're trying to visualize it. They walk into the nightclub. What's the experience that, you know, I'm talking like describe it for them, like POV style, like they go down steps or they go up an escalator, yeah. You know, what's the actual experience?
Right. So 727 is a beautiful, beautiful building. It's a white marble building. And when you walk in, it is downstairs. We'll lead you down the steps. Our bouncers will lead you down the steps. And as you enter the club, you're surrounded by Buddhas and candles and moss installations. And you're right behind the DJ booth as you walk in, and you feel the vibe from the moment you get there. The sound system is something that you just have to hear and actually feel for lack of a better word. But as you enter, we have booth installations on either side. We have an incredible ceiling light show that is there from the second that the club's on, with all kinds of moving heads and electronics that are rare in the city. Even the floor, we gave so much thought to. A lot of people just have the floor as an afterthought. It's either concrete or just wood or something like that. We had an artist design the entire floor, did this incredible installation on the floor that really, really kind of brings out the greenery and the kokidamas that are hanging, and the floral installations, and we also have a local artist that did a rendition of a famous Klimt painting on a wall that brings a lot of the elements of the club together. The walls are hand-painted tile work. We have a 27-foot bar. There's a special area in the back that's surrounded with 27 video monitors that just looks like it's floating. It's really something where it's not a huge club and it's not a small club. It's kind of just a perfect size. And when it's filled, you really feel just a great vibe in there. We're really excited for people to come in there and just kind of see what we've done. It's taken us a long time. It's still not finished. Every year every week we're improving a little bit more. It's a jewel box, that we have. And we're just super excited to, kind of unleash it on the city.
Great. So the whole vibe sounds like it's like an Asian influences, like a little bit of a Secret Garden oasis. That's what you're pitching it as here.
Yes, exactly.
Great. So I know Saatchi is just like one of several venues that Babylon Group is trying to open throughout the summer. You know, now that pandemic is fading. Well, I was going to say that. Now we got the new variant. Who the hell knows this year, man? But anyway, talk about the other spots you're planning on opening and how you've sort of been navigating this bizarre time of trying to open venues.
Yeah. So when the pandemic started, you know, no one knew how long the tunnel was, how many curves it was going to take, much less any light at the end of it. So it was an interesting time at the beginning. We saw a lot of places shutter in DC people forced to close or just couldn't sustain or didn't want to deal with it. So as these venues started to come available, we really kept our eye out for some great architecture from some great spaces. We kind of do things in reverse. You know, I'll say, instead of I want to put this somewhere, find me an amazing location and we can probably figure out what would work really well there based on the environment, based on the neighborhood, and based on the crowd that goes to these areas and different neighborhoods based on different types of the week. So we were lucky enough to come across the beautiful space in DuPont Circle. You know, DuPont Circle is the Times Square of D.C., and within the Times Square of DC, there's certain buildings that just stand out that are incredible venues and locations that you can't find anywhere else in the city. So we were able to take over 1212 18th Street, which is an incredible venue. It's just a beautiful space. It's a Victorian mansion. A lot of people are familiar with that space. We're created a club. It took us a while to really formulate the idea and the concept. And it's going to be called 12 After 12. And it is right there at 1212 18th Street in DuPont Circle. And the building structure is very reminiscent of a Victorian mansion, and we really try to push that hard. We developed a club that is reminiscent of the American Newport mansions that were built in the late 1800s, specifically the Breakers and the Rosecliff. These are Vanderbilt homes and Astor homes, and we wanted to push that kind of a Gatsby vibe, if you will. As a matter of fact, the Rosecliff is where they filmed the original Great Gatsby. So we're trying to create this opulent.
You're talking about the Robert Redford one?
Yes.
Or the older?
The Robert Redford one.
Nice.
Yes, it's a quite a, you know, there's alabaster and there was these were vacation homes of these barons of business, and it's almost like your cool grandmother's having this amazing party and everyone's invited. So we're trying to push the outside, which is, you know, kind of a patio. We have a rooftop there that's a patio to the back of this mansion, and there's vases and bird cages, and there's you know, these opulent furniture and colors and whimsical wall coverings and clocks, kind of reminiscent of our name. And it's a monster project. It's a gutted space, and we've been working from the walls out, and we're probably about, well, I don't want to say the exact day because it's a work in progress, but hopefully within the next month, we'll have the doors open there. And we're really about, DC. We have hired DC artists in our clubs, DC models, DC photographers, DC painters. And a lot of the artists that have been kind of, you know, shuttered with their craft and there isn't any venues to play, starting to get out there again. They're very excited. We've had groups and groups of them come in every week now, for the last couple months, to play at, 12 after 12, DJs, bands, mostly local artists. Some DJs will come from other areas. And we want to give them different types of nights. There are residencies there. The great thing about the space at 12 after 12 is that it's 8,000 square feet. It's on more than one floor, and we're able to have multiple, bands, DJs, vibes, genres of music playing all at the same time.
Great. And then, is it true there's like a handful of other ones you're trying to open, or do you want me just to focus on those that you've already mentioned?
Yeah, we are. We're working on another place called Koi. Koi is going to be opening at right there at 14th and K, at 1413 K to be exact. A place called Tattoo was in there in the prior space. And we've been working on that also for the last year. Koi is going to be something super interesting. A lot of these things are, listen, why isn't there something like this in DC? I would love to go to a place like this. You see, well, let's build it ourselves. And it is a sushi lounge. We're going to have a phenomenal chef, Chef Jackie Nakazami, and he's going to be heading our menu. But this is not a place where, hey, you know what? I'm going to go get a couple sushi rolls and head out. This is a place that you want to come and just have an experience for the night. We have an unprecedented visual installation here. There are 24 foot high visual monitors, three deep into the place. When you walk in, there's almost 2,000 technical lighted spheres that all are programmed and can be any color and work in unison to provide this immersion of almost like a little bit of a Blade Runner effect, a little gritty, a little cool, nice. Very electronic. It's a cocktail driven venue. It has an amazing artist, the same artist that did the floor at Saatchi did the floor here. It's almost like a pearly white a floor that glossy that reflects all the light. There's a loft in the air, in the venue. It's a very tall, high ceiling venue, if you will. And as you walk in, you'll see these giant koi fish floating as you enter the space, and as you continue to come into the main space. It is really a sight to see. We're super excited about it. That's another one that we're hoping to get open in the next month or so. We started Decades in its current form. I think it's one of the largest clubs in the district. It's right across from 12 after 12. We opened the doors in 2016, and we went against the grain. A lot of people at the time were strictly doing EDM, that type of music, and we just went old school. We thought, hey, you know what? Everyone's had that amazing song they either got dumped with in high school, or, you know, had their feelings hurt or fell in love. And then in college, the same kind of song that really moves you and takes you there. So we went retro, and Decades is five stories with a rooftop of 80s music, 90s music, 2000s. And it's still going today. It's probably one of the most successful clubs in the district. People really love it. We're so thankful for that. And below Decades, we have Rewind by Decades, which is, we have diner food there and a club. We're now starting to go a little bit of a Latin Decades at Rewind in the same building on the ground floor. So we're super excited about that. We're reopened. It's been doing fantastic. You know, this is almost like a grand epoch now, almost like the Roaring Twenties after the Spanish flu, where people were just, you know, there were all the things that happened with the pandemic, you know, the isolation, the fear, the not having to connect with your loved ones, see your friends. And now, so everyone is hoping to get to a sense of normalcy. We'll see what happens with the current environment, but we're hopeful that, you know, we can continue to get back to a state of camaraderie and seeing your friends and just having a good time and to let loose for a while.
On the flip side of that, memorialize or, you know, eulogize a couple of the ones that had to close. Like, I know Velvet Lounge, Dodge City. Like, so you have experience at places in town, and you're gonna, any lessons you've learned from the ones that closed and pandemic or otherwise?
Sure. So I don't have any affiliation with Velvet Lounge. I know this was one of a number of places that closed in the city, as you say. And, you know, this is kind of the catalyst of why we wanted to create a company that can kind of put the brakes on these kind of things happening. I mean, it's sad for everyone, sad for the previous owners. It's sad for the people that went there and made friends and the employees on down. So, you know, we really created the Babylon Group to try to save some of these shuttered places. And, you know, let's not everything be, you know, an office or a dry cleaner, you know, not that we have any issues with those businesses, but, you know, we need some nightlife. We need some flair. We need some flavor in the city. We need music. We need dancing. We need camaraderie. And so, you know, sitting there and watching these businesses go down, you know, one by one, you know, we were in a position to say, hey, listen, we can just watch this happen. We can take a huge risk and try to jump in the game and save some of these spaces, that used to be, you know, great venues and places for neighborhoods and friends and a lot of local Washingtonians to go to. And we're doing the best we can to kind of create these venues and give people something that they haven't seen before. You know, we're from DC. We're about DC. We know DC, as you know, Jason, and you know, DC, you can get a little crazy. You can't go too far outside of the lines. You know, the people here, very diverse, very, educated, such a great city. I've never lived really anywhere else in the country, but in DC. So I just love the city so much. And we actually even have more things that we're bringing to the city. The original Matchbox location in Chinatown, we took over and we're turning it into a very neighborly place called Bulldog. We're going to feature one of those Morny Forny, kind of like the Ferrari of pizza ovens that make these Neapolitan pizzas. It's going to have beers and a huge bar and screens everywhere for sports. It'll be right there across from sports center down there in Chinatown. And we're excited to get those doors open also again in the next hopefully 30, maybe 45 days.
Man, you guys got a hand in a bunch of spots all over town. This is great. Babylon Group, keep an eye on them, everybody. awesome. Well, I know you're describing it as, you know, you're hoping that once this pandemic subsides, you know, maybe we'll launch into, like you're saying, like a, I think you referenced like a roaring 20s, everyone wanting to go back out kind of a thing. You even had the Gatsby vibe. I mean, it's all there for the taking. How are you guys, what's the logistics in terms of, like we mentioned earlier, the thing that's probably annoying for you to have to talk about, but it's the reality we're in, you know, the variant and all that stuff, the DC mandating masks again, indoors, all that kind of stuff. Like, what should our listeners know, I guess? What actionable information do they need to wear masks when they come in for now, or what's the deal?
Yeah, so we're definitely going to go by whatever the DC and mayor mandates are. At this time, the wearing a mask has gone into effect in indoor locations until further notice. So we provide them at the door if people forget them, but when they're inside, they wear them. As the mayor said, they don't have to wear them when they're drinking or they're eating. But just to keep a little bit more of a layer of something there when they're in an inside venue, that's where DC is now. There's no social distancing or anything like that at this point. And we'll, you know, I guess they're going to look at the science and look at the statistics as we go forward. Definitely, you know, as a lot of people can see that the immunization has definitely helped. You know, before there was, of course, mortality and getting sick. And now I think, we've kind of curbed the chart on the mortality side. It's more of just getting sick, but you know, it's a thing still. It's a thing. I guess no one's completely out of the woods yet. We're hopeful. And we'll have to see, where this goes, with everyone. And we'll be respectful, of course, of the whatever mandates come down, from the district, as they have throughout the last year.
Gotcha. But you'll have masks to hand out at the doors. And obviously like you said, the mayor's office said you have to wear them inside, I guess, except for when you're drinking. So there's nothing like you need to have a vaccine card or a proof of a negative test to get in the doors.
We're not mandating that. I think that is up to, you know, private businesses if they want to do that. We're not doing that.
Man, how frustrating that as a journalist, we even have to discuss. This should be a fun interview, man. It's a nightclub. But, you know, hey, well, thank you, 2020 and rolling over into 2021. That's what we're dealing with. So.
Yep. We want to be safe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't envy your position of, you know, being in the business of launching nightclubs at this time. So I'm hats off for at least the ambition to try to do it. And, you know, best of luck trying to stay safe and weather everything in the coming months. And hopefully you guys can get this thing going here and this virus will go away and people can come enjoy the clubs, you know, in full force soon, I hope.
Yeah, we're very excited. We've had a great showing so far. People are super eager, that we've seen, some of our clubs, even more, busy than pre-pandemic. And that really gives you a taste of, where people's heads are. You know, the last year was brutal on a lot of people, on me personally, on business, on everything. And we, you know, absolutely respect that. And, you know, we're trying to, bring, a part of life that is, you know, more fun, more whimsical. You know, we look at these things as at the end of the day, they're a candy store. They're an ice cream shop. You know, no one's going to come to one of our venues and walk in there probably with a frown on their face. They want to have fun. They want to see their friends. And, you know, we're the ambassadors of their time. That's precious time. They've done their work. They've punched the clock. They've done what they had to do. And now it's time for us to give them the best time that we can. And we really respect having that opportunity to do that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Bo. I appreciate all the time and good luck with the venture and we'll keep us posted, you know, anytime next, I guess, you know, I'll hook this to Saatchi and kind of back my way into mentioning the other ones. But hey, you know, if we need to do any follow-up interviews once those other ones officially open, I'm all for it. So thanks, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jason. It was wonderful talking to you.
All right.